Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. It is another cold, grey day in January. I'm sitting here with a hot water bottle on my lap. I've just been attacked by a small black cat who's had his claws cut. And I have been swimming this morning. I think I said in the previous episode that I've really been enjoying my cold sea swims this time of year, more so probably than any year before. In the past, perhaps just a reflection of where I was with my health and life and my nervous system state. Sometimes getting really cold this time of year can frazzle me a little bit, but I have been finding it very energizing, in fact, and very refreshing. Been staying in for about 8 minutes, basically 1 minute for every degree Celsius of the ocean temperature, and just really, really enjoying it. It is raining today, and there's a little bit of rain hitting the windows as I'm talking, so that could be coming through with some background noise, but hopefully it won't be too disruptive to you. Anyway, now that I've done my little bit of preamble waffle, I am talking today about how we can manage the mornings in our fatigue recovery journey. The topic for this episode, shall I say, was one that was suggested on Instagram. I was doing my weekly Q&A that I do on Instagram, and somebody had asked a question, not perhaps in these exact words, but I thought it was definitely something to talk about in more detail because it's a conversation I have with my clients. It's a conversation I have with the members in the Nurturing Resilience subscription. And I know for myself that not feeling as refreshed as what I normally would was something that I also experienced in my own fatigue recovery journey. And I think it's worth having a conversation around. So before we go into the conversation around this, just a request, if you could leave a review, if you haven't already, on iTunes or Spotify. It will take 10, 20 seconds of your time, and it would mean the world to me if you could. Just this past week, the podcast has finally hit 100,000 downloads, which feels like such an amazing achievement. But I would love for more people to find the podcast. I would love for more people to be able to get access to the support that they need, because I'm sure anybody who listens to this podcast knows that the support is often lacking in this area. So if you could leave a review, improve the podcast rankings, help others find the help that they need, I will be very, very grateful. And of course, if you know someone specifically, or you're a member of a chronic fatigue or chronic illness community, and you'd like to share a specific episode or the podcast in general with that community or a specific person, that would be a little extra action that would also be incredibly helpful. So thank you so much for doing that in advance. And let's talk about how we can manage the mornings better. So where I'd like to start is just talking about the general challenges that people may experience in the mornings, because not everybody is the same. There can be those that find mornings very hard because they perhaps wake feeling very activated, very overstimulated, perhaps experiencing a heightening of symptoms first thing in the morning. And that can also just change the trajectory of your day if you start to symptom scan, focus on your symptoms, and then symptoms make you feel more anxious, more depressed, more hopeless, or you know, whatever other feelings are coming up around your symptoms. So that's the first potential challenge. The second potential challenge is those that find mornings hard because they feel just really slow, very sluggish, very flat, lethargic, shut down, maybe even numb and disconnected. And this may or may not present with more symptoms. Sometimes when we are tending towards more dissociation and disconnection in our symptoms, in our system, we don't feel our symptoms as intensely, but there can be a lot of fatigue and a lot of flatness and a lot of lack of motivation and just really struggling to get going in the mornings. The other possibility is that those who might wake feeling unrefreshed. So They might feel tired, perhaps even after having a good night's sleep, but they just don't feel as refreshed as what they feel that they should feel. But they're not in this overly very heightened, activated state or an overly flat state. They might feel that they're actually fairly regulated, but they're just not feeling as good as what they could feel in the morning. So I'd like to speak to that as well. And where I'd like to go with this is just explain that how we feel in the morning is a reflection of physiology, so physiological imbalances that might be happening in the body, as well as our nervous system state. I have actually talked about this recently in the episode where I talked about how our nervous system state informs our healing, but I'd like to just do a quick little recap here on the nervous system, just to remind you of some of the states and then link them to how this might be influencing some of these presenting challenges first thing in the morning. So the nervous system has got two main branches. We've got the parasympathetic nervous system, the PNS, and we've got the sympathetic nervous system, the SNS. And the sympathetic nervous system is what governs our fight or flight responses. And heightened SNS activity may be a cause of that waking, feeling wired, and feeling very activated. The PNS, on the other hand, the parasympathetic nervous system, governs our ventral vagal system, also referred to as our social engagement system, or the system which allows us to feel regulated, which allows us to feel present, to feel here, to feel okay and safe in the moment. However, the parasympathetic nervous system also governs the dorsal vagal branch of our nervous system, which is responsible in some cases for deep rest, but it can also be responsible for things like shutdown, disassociation, freeze, and collapse. And this might be the dominating branch, which is responsible for feeling that low, flat, disconnected, numb, lacking in motivation, or stuck or frozen feeling when you wake up in the morning. And here, just a reminder that freeze, in when we experience freeze, we can have heightened sympathetic activation, as well as this dorsal vagal activity. So often underneath the freeze, there's a lot of that sympathetic fight or flight energy. And that can often feel like this idea of having your foot flat on the accelerator, but the handbrake up. There's like a lot of energy in your system, but it's got nowhere to go. And that can often leave us feeling quite stuck and like feeling a bit like gridlocked and overwhelmed or overactivated, but we're not really able to move or do anything or use that energy in a productive way. And so then there's the third option. And that was where, from a nervous system perspective, we feel regulated, we feel pretty present and not overly activated or stuck or frozen or shut down, but we can still wake feeling unrefreshed or sluggish or foggy. And now this isn't an exact science, but my Anna theory, in air quotes, is that when we experience this, it may be more of a case of some sort of physiological imbalance or physiological challenge that is making us present the way that we are presenting, not necessarily a nervous system challenge per se. And what that might mean more specifically is that the brain fog or sluggishness that you experience in the morning could be driven by a toxic load. Common causes being things like mold or yeast overgrowth, such as candida or dysbiosis or SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, or a sluggish lymphatic system, or poor detox and poor drainage because you're not sweating, you're not pooping, you're not consuming enough water, maybe mast cell activation syndrome or histamine issues, blood sugar imbalances, or just a poor diet and a pro-inflammatory diet versus an anti-inflammatory diet. In my own journey, one of the symptoms that was always kind of hyper aware of is that waking unrefreshed in the morning feeling. And obviously there's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of overlap and you know, I identify with other aspects of, you know, the nervous system components as well. But I do really feel that that kind of like brain foggy feeling where I just never felt like I was as mentally clear as what I should be first thing in the morning was a toxic load issue. And I can't remember exactly when it disappeared. It's gone now, but it was something that I was always very hyper aware of. And as I worked on some of these physiological pieces, like the mold detox and the SIBO and the blood sugar imbalances and all of the bits and bobs, that was something that really helped me to wake feeling more refreshed. And definitely there was a connection with food. So I was very disciplined with my diet throughout my journey, but every now and again as a human being, I would maybe go out for a meal or we would get a takeaway. And this was very rare. It wasn't something I was doing on even a monthly basis. But if there was a special occasion, I maybe ate a little bit differently to what I normally would. I would get some blood sugar imbalances and then I could wake in the morning feeling more tired and sluggish again. So I just wanted to share that piece because I think there can be a little bit of some people are very, it's all about the nervous system. And some people are like, it's not only about the nervous system, it's also physiology. And I just want to hold space for the possibility that there are multiple different mechanisms feeding into how we feel. Every case is different. And sometimes if we're only looking at the nervous system, we miss some of those physiological components that could help us feel better. Or if we're only looking at the physiological components and we're dismissive of the nervous system and trauma and things like that, we may be missing some really important things that could help us feel better. And very often for most people, it's a combination of both. So we need to hold space for the fact that sometimes it isn't just one thing, but sometimes it could be a combination of all three of the main things that I've mentioned here, the hyperactive sympathetic nervous system, being stuck in that dorsal nervous system state, or having some additional physiological challenges, and collectively all three, or sometimes more one, sometimes more the other, could be creating our experience. And, you know, such is the journey with chronic illness, is that there's so much nuance and complexity. And that's what can make it so challenging at times sometimes to work through. But perhaps based on what I've shared, you can identify strongly with one of the things that I've mentioned, whether it is that heightened sympathetic nervous system state or the more dorsal shutdown state, or maybe this idea of feeling pretty regulated in yourself, but maybe there's a sense that this is actually a physiological imbalance. So where I'd like to go to next with this is to talk about what you could do to support yourself to manage your mornings better. And I'll start with the physiological causes because this one will probably be the most brief. So this is when your nervous system feels pretty regulated, but you still have symptoms which are interfering with how you would like to feel on any given day. Here, ultimately, what you want to do is get to the bottom of what those physiological imbalances are. And I've listed out a few already in terms of things like considering toxic load, mold being a common cause, but digestive imbalances, SIBO, yeast, bacterial overgrowths, poor drainage, sluggish lymph, histamine issues, blood sugar imbalances, not eating the best diet, you know, for your needs. All of these things could contribute to that. And it's beyond the scope of this podcast to talk about all those things in detail because I would be talking here for hours. But that's what the rest of the podcast is for. So you can listen to the episodes on mold, or you can listen to the episodes on blood sugar, or you can listen to the episodes on detox and drainage, or you could, you know, work with a practitioner or someone who could help you work through those pieces in a way that's specific and unique to your case. And you know, as I experienced over time, start to feel more and more well and more energized in the morning, as we should do as normal human beings. So that's all I'm going to say really today on the physiological imbalances, because there is so much to say that I couldn't capture it all in just one episode. But what I wanted to focus on more so in terms of the rest of this episode is a bit more of the nervous system discussion and what we can do there to support ourselves. So the other two possibilities, just to recap, would be awaking, feeling more activated, feeling more wired, and possibly more symptomatic. Think of your nervous system as like turning up the volume on your symptoms and you're experiencing them more first thing in the morning. Or you could be waking up feeling very flat, very shut down, or potentially very frozen. What do we do in these types of scenarios? So let's talk about waking up feeling more activated. And as a reminder, this is when your sympathetic nervous system is all dressed up and it's ready to go with nowhere potentially to go if you're feeling unwell. And here I like to remind people that it's normal to have an increased nervous system response in the morning. First in the morning, first thing within about an hour, 30 minutes to an hour of waking, as normal human beings, we should have something which is known as a cortisol awakening response. And a cortisol awakening response, which is often abbreviated as CAR, C-A-R, is a natural human phenomenon. And what it means is cortisol, our stress hormone, surges in the morning. And that should be your get up and go to start the day. It's a sign of a healthy circadian rhythm. And your cortisol should surge by an increase of at least 50% first thing in the morning. So we should have this surge of stress hormones within 30 minutes to 60 minutes of waking, which is our get up and go to start the day. And what can sometimes be happening for various reasons for certain individuals is there's either this surge of stress hormones is amplified. So for whatever reason, because the nervous system doesn't have good braking capacity, instead of having a surge which is normal for a regular human being, the surge is even bigger and it becomes even more overwhelming for the system. And we just don't necessarily have the capacity to contain all the energy of that surge. And that can be amplified by, you know, the stress that's going on in your life. It can be amplified by your blood sugar. It can be amplified by, you know, waking up and looking at your phone and seeing perhaps like some stressful emails or social media. It can also be amplified by our own thoughts. And when we wake up and we notice the symptoms and we're like, oh my gosh, it's going to be another really bad day. And then we get even more worked up and wired. So there's lots of reasons why we might experience that amplification, but often that amplification can be something which is driving this like hyperactivity, very overactivated sympathetic nervous system response first thing in the morning. The other potential possibility here is that the individual is having a normal cortisol awakening response, but the window of tolerance or the capacity within their system to hold and be with and contain the charge coming from that heightened stress response is too low. And so here, often in fatigue recovery, a lot of the messaging that people receive is that we should be calm. We mustn't be too stressed. We mustn't get too worked up. We mustn't do too much. And what often happens then, although it's important for us to be calm at times when it's appropriate to be calm, and it's also appropriate for us to rest and to be able to settle, and I'm not saying that any of those things are wrong, but sometimes we get so obsessed with this need to be calm that we become so fearful of any energy or activation in our system. But what you really want on your journey to recovery is you want energy in your system. You want aliveness. You want vitality. You want joy. You want excitement. You want your life back. And in order for you to experience that, there has to be the ability to hold a certain amount of charge in your system. So sometimes when we've been so focused on like making life small and not overdoing it and pacing and being calm, then we can get the surge of adrenaline in our system, which is normal and healthy first thing in the morning, but it can feel like too much. In which case part of the journey, and this isn't something that happens overnight, is rebuilding our capacity to hold more charge. And as we can hold more charge in our system, we can hold more life. And that is part of the journey of recovery. And if this all seems a little bit abstract and confusing, these are the skills that I teach in the Nurturing Resilience subscription. It's really hard to break down what this actually means in a single podcast episode. So I just try and like give the bigger picture or the framework. But in Nurturing Resilience, we take 12 weeks or more, depending on how you want to pace the modules, to really learn what this means in an embodied way and how to work with some of the material that I'm talking about here. And you can join that subscription for just £39 a month plus VAT, cancel at any time. So if you're feeling called to understand and work with your nervous system a little bit more, it could be a low risk and affordable option for you. But I digress. So what we really are wanting to do in the case of this heightened sympathetic activation in the morning is we either, if there's an amplification, if we're experiencing too much charge, we might want to do some calming practices. And in that case, it could be doing a meditation, or it could be, I used to do some yin yoga personally, which I found was very beneficial for me. It could be doing some breathing exercises, which calm or slow the system down. If it's within capacity, it might be just a really gentle walk in nature where you're looking around and you're smelling the air and you're looking at the birds and you're hearing their song and just really connecting with things that feel supportive to your system. Or even just something like a very gentle qigong, very slow, very mindful, very slow yoga practice, obviously always within capacity. Those things could be beneficial just to slow the system down. But sometimes these practices don't work. And sometimes when we're trying to be calm and the system is really, really charged up, telling the system, you need to be calm, you need to be calm, you need to be calm, is not actually what it needs. In some cases, what we actually need to do is we need to learn to discharge. What that basically means is when we're experiencing this heightened, wired, activated feeling in the body, that is energy. And we have this saying in somatic experiencing, which is like the nervous system is all dressed up with nowhere to go. All that charge in your system is like there, it's ready. It's a readiness, it's a preparedness, it's fight or flight, but it's got nowhere to go. And you just saying, you need to be calm, is not going to help that energy move. So what we're really trying to do is in a supportive way, which feels in capacity, is get that energy moving. And in some cases, it could be within capacity always, more of a brisk walk, or it could actually be some shaking or some trembling, or maybe it's some dancing, or maybe it's a little bit of a more dynamic yoga flow or more dynamic movement practice. Or sometimes I recommend to people Kapalabhati breath, which is a specific yogic breathing practice, but it's very energizing. It's very fast. It's very forceful. I've recommended this to clients who've experienced this heightened activation in the morning. They've found it very helpful. So we really want to encourage a discharge of this survival energy from the body. And for people with chronic illness, for the most part, anything that we can do to learn to discharge and do that regularly throughout the day, that's going to potentially be really supportive for healing. And this is something we talk more about in the Nurturing Resilience subscription, and then you learn practices so that you can do this on your own. The examples I've given here in this podcast today are more just examples of things that people would have more access to without doing the course, like breathing, shaking, dancing, that type of thing. So really the message that I want you to take away from this is if you are someone with more heightened activation in the morning, If your calming practices are not working, it might be because you actually need to do something to get rid of that energy. And you can use the examples that I've given here, given them a go. The Kapalabhati breath, I'm sure you could just look that up on YouTube and give it a go, see how that works for you, because that might be the more accessible one if capacity is limited, because you might not be able to dance or walk or do yoga or qigong or something like that. So then moving on to waking up feeling very flat, very shut down, very frozen, really struggling to get going in the morning. And if I link that back to what I was saying about the cortisol awakening response, it can be, but not always, that in some cases, these individuals have a flat cortisol awakening response. Whereas in the previous example, I was saying that that response could be heightened, and that could potentially be a reason for experiencing the activation. In this scenario, sometimes when we've tested cortisol awakening responses in clients, they've just been non-existent. They've just been a flat line, and there's no surge in those adrenal hormones, which is really important. And I know I said I wouldn't talk too much about physiology here. I would talk more about the nervous system, but it's worth mentioning here that if that's you, then it can also be really helpful. Things that could be supportive of this might be getting morning light exposure. So it should be 3 minutes on a sunny day, 10 minutes on a partly cloudy day, and then 20, 25 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes on a cloudy day. And I know a lot of capacity and people don't have the capacity to get outside to get that light exposure. And this is where you just have to pick your battles in your journey and start to implement that when you do have the capacity. But that's something worth considering, is getting out into the daylight within the first hour of waking. The other thing that can be helpful, but best done under the supervision of a practitioner, is taking some licorice root supplement, not DGL, which we often use to soothe the gut, but licorice root is an adaptogen, which can be helpful for the enzyme which breaks down cortisol. So what that actually means is that we inhibit that enzyme, we hold more cortisol in our system, and that takes pressure off of the adrenal glands. However, I do feel like you can't just take a supplement and hope to repair this. It's something that you need to consider multiple different factors that have got you to that place in the first place. And obviously just holding space with the fact that blood sugar is so closely related to adrenal health, and that needs to be mastered as well. Also cold water. So somebody who's feeling shut down and frozen in the morning is probably not going to want to get up and have a cold shower. But if you can do that, that's another great thing that it can be helpful for that cortisol awakening response. But I want to talk here about more of the nervous system practices that we can do, because if you really do struggle with mornings and find them very hard, the morning light and the cold showers are probably just not going to happen at this point in time if you're even struggling to get out of bed. So the first thing to say here is sometimes we can have this really like frozen, flat, numb feeling, but these people might not have a lot of symptoms, mostly because they might be disconnected from the symptoms. And it's worth mentioning here that as we come more out of this frozen state, more out of this dorsal state, we might experience more symptoms. And very often people will feel like, I'm going backwards, my symptoms have got worse. And there's obviously many reasons that people's symptoms can get worse, which aren't supportive for healing. But in some cases, as our nervous system moves in the direction of regulation, we might become more symptomatic because we are more connected to our body and we feel our symptoms more. And that can be a very scary thing. So this is why when we're working with these dorsal, frozen, shutdown states, the key thing to acknowledge is gentleness, slowness, and taking all the pressure off. So if you're waking in the morning and you're feeling very flat, very shut down, very frozen, one of the things you can do is you could find very gentle ways to connect with your body. And if you haven't watched my free workshop on getting to know your nervous system, we actually go through a lot of these practical exercises in the workshop. You can go to my website, which is just annamarsh.co.uk/workshop. Sign up there and then you'll get immediate access to the workshop. But one of the things we can do is find something in the body that feels neutral or okay. You know, one of the reasons why we might be flat and very disconnected is because the body is not a safe space for us to be. So we want to start to learn that our body can be safe. And that might just be finding the thing that feels relatively okay. It might just be watching your breath moving up and down in your chest. It might just be feeling like I've got some clients I work with and the pet is on the bed and then they can feel the warmth of the dog or the cat like sitting on their feet and just orient to that. Or it could just be, my face feels soft and relaxed, or my earlobes. So just find, if you can, somewhere in your body that feels okay, or even possibly even better than okay. And just like hold it in your awareness and just notice it. And sometimes coming into the body can be too much, in which case we can do some external orienting, which is might be you orient to things outside of yourself. So this is what we would call external resourcing. Might be you just spend some time gazing out the window at the beautiful trees. Or it might be that you've got a pet and you can spend a little bit of time co-regulating with that pet. Noticing, like have a cuddle with your pet, feel its warmth, feel the softness of its fur. So we're starting to connect with things that help us just feel a little bit more soothed, a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more safe. And if we are able to bring a little bit of movement in here in a very gentle way, that could potentially be supportive. And it really has to be something that feels manageable. Maybe a little bit, like it takes a little bit of effort, but not too much. So it might just be that you like point and flex your feet, you roll your wrists, or maybe you just take some stretches like over your head or do some arm circles. So just something like really, really gentle like that. You know, if you're in bed, you don't feel very mobile, could just be, I'm just going to like move my feet. I'm just going to scrunch my toes up. I'm just going to move my ankles. Maybe even like tense some muscles in your body and then just relax them again. So just very, very gentle. And then if you do feel like you've got out of bed now, you could like you're ready for a little bit more, maybe even like a hot shower or a hot bath, even though I said the cold was good for the cortisol awakening response, we do want something that's going to bring in the sense of soothing. So it might be a case of just like really feeling the warmth of the water on your body. If you've got, you could sit in a hot bath or in a shower, if you've got one of those shower detachable shower heads, just actually taking the shower head and like put warmth on the back of your neck, or put warmth on a shoulder, or just somewhere in your body, even just a warm face cloth. You could do a warm face cloth in bed even, where you can just be like, oh yeah, that feels really nice. You could even put some essential oils on that warm face cloth and just touch it to parts of your body and just really bring in that like awakening of the senses. Music. I used to do this a lot because I used to teach yin yoga. I had some beautiful like yin yoga playlists. And sometimes I would just like put on one of the beautiful playlists and I would just listen and I connect with the music. And that would help to awaken my body a little bit more as well. So really what we're looking for is, at least in the beginning stages, is just a very subtle shift. When you do these things, how do you notice that you just start to feel perhaps a little bit more here? A little bit more awake, a little bit more alive. And doing the things I've said are not going to make you go from zero to hero in a week, but they're regular practices that you bring into your day. And just very, very gently over time, your body learns through neuroplasticity and retraining your brain to start to orient more to what is good. And as we orient more to what is good, we feel better resourced. As we feel better resourced, getting out of bed feels less overwhelming. So as you do these practices, you do feel more alive and you do feel like you could do a little bit more. Then you could do a very gentle Qigong practice or a very gentle walk. You could get outside for your morning light, whatever feels within capacity. Just really going slow so you're not having the pressure to push, because the body won't respond well to pushing if this is your experience. But we're just easing in and having gentleness and compassion and letting the body come a little bit more alive as the day continues. And then what you might notice is, like, if you wake up at 8 and it's hard to get out of bed until 10, maybe that's going to, like, that time will start to get a little bit easier and you feel a little bit more awake and alive earlier in the day. Things worth trying for sure. So hopefully that's given you a few things to think about in terms of how you can support your nervous system first thing in the morning. I think here I just want to say, like, separately, how we care for our nervous system across the whole day is something that can influence the quality of our sleep at night. And then the quality of our sleep at night will potentially have an influence on then what's happening in the morning as well. And this is for both people who feel very activated or very flat. And something we talk about in the Nurturing Resilience subscription and in the free workshop is this idea of having practices that you do little and often throughout the day, so that you're not just kind of like stuck all day long or getting wound up or activated all day long and then carrying a lot of our unprocessed stuff to be processed unconsciously in our sleep at night. And what I mean by that is, if you've ever had, I'm sure we've all had one of those sleeps where you know you slept, but you also kind of felt like you were awake the whole night. And you've probably had one of those sleeps when something has been, like, you've been a bit overstimulated, something stressful has happened, you're sleeping perhaps in a different bed, a different place, there's different noises, your nervous system has been more on high alert. So if we're like doing all day long, or we're numbing all day long, even if we're just resting, but we're not actually taking the time to do these short regulation practices, then when we go to sleep at night, the body's like, okay, now we've got some space to process this. And that can mean that even though we're asleep, the body could potentially be working really, really hard all night long to deal with what we haven't dealt with during the day. And the consequence of that can be us waking in the morning, either feeling like we've been run over by a truck and we're very dorsal and we can't get out of bed, or just very, very activated. And so there's a lot of emphasis on bedtime routines to improve sleep. But how you manage yourself across the whole day as a whole, I believe, is more important. Because if you're doing the work across the day, those bedtime routines are going to be less required. So it's really important also just to consider as a whole things like diet and blood sugar balance across the whole day, not just your evening meal. If you can, as we spoke about, light exposure, morning light, and just getting outside as much as you can. I know that's really hard when your capacity is low. It's easier for people as they build more capacity to spend more time outside. But if you can spend more time outside, however you manage to do it, that would be really ideal. And then to have some settling practices across the day, so you're not stuck on or stuck off for large chunks of the day, but you're beginning to restore the natural rhythm of the nervous system, which is to fluctuate throughout the day, to move from high to low to in between without getting stuck. So I hope that has been helpful for you to think about what you could do to support yourself in the morning. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.